in my last lecture, although I did not literally explain about those sentences, but I almost explained about it. Shiki moto, shizou wo koto ni shi. Shiki moto, shizou wo koto ni shi. Shiki is in the Vajna Paramita Sutra. Shiki soku zeku, shiki. Same character. Shiki. Shiki moto, shizou wo koto ni shi. Means, you know, form and color. It means, it has two meanings. Form and color. Things which form and color. Shitzou wo koto ni shi. Shou moto. Last shou. In Prajna Paramita Sutra we have many this character. Shou. A voice. Which is the object of, you know, ears. Shou moto. Shitzou wo koto ni shi. Lak wo koto ni shi. It means that whatever you see, shitzou means quality, zo or nature, quality or nature is shitzou, like human nature or Buddha nature. Good nature, ill nature is shitzou. Zo means figure. In things there is various, things have various nature. And various figure, various forms. And voice, when you hear voice, voice has, some voice is good and some voice is not good. Agreeable or disagreeable. Lack means something which you care for is lack. Good. Something which you create. Some bitter feeling or, you know, some not suffering is so big word, but some it will create suffering. This is just, he's now talking about just form and voice, but the same thing is true with taste or sound or no, or his feeling or taste. There's good taste and bad taste, and good sound and bad sound, and good feeling and bad feeling. Something agreeable idea or a disagreeable idea. There are many things. And we suffer from it. When you hear something good, you will enjoy it. But when you hear something bad, you will be annoyed. Or you will be disturbed by it. Although, you know, for a usual person, you know, things happen in that way. But if you understand the reality completely, you will not be bothered by it. Because, and here is the reason, here. We understand things in two ways. One way is, as I told you in that lecture, to understand things in darkness. And the other understanding is to observe things in terms of good or bad. That is, there are two ways of understanding. And we know that things themselves have no good or bad. Things are not good or bad. It is we people who discriminate things. Good or bad. So things are not, there's no good or bad in things themselves. But we create, we discriminate things in terms of good or bad. So if we know that, we will not suffer so much. And that is, what I am doing, not things itself, has no good or bad nature. To understand in this way is to understand things in utter darkness. You do not involve in dualistic understanding of good or bad. So, an is darkness. Darkness includes good and bad. In the dark, superior or inferior cannot be distinguished. Here, this word, jo is superior, and chu is middle, but actually, it means jo chu and superior, middle, and inferior. So jo chu means actually superior and inferior, not middle. It is not so usual to say superior and or middle. When we say superior, it is more natural to say inferior. But as this is a kind of form, and so sound, jo, it is better sound to say, jo-chu, rather than to say jo-ge. Jo-chu, if we say jo-chu, it means you feel better. Jo-ge, too much discrimination. So he said, he used chu instead of ge. Jo-chu no koto ni kanai. Koto is words. This is also words. Utter darkness. Superior, good words and bad words will not disturb you. It means that it will not make much sense. Or you will not be bothered by it. You will not be affected by good words or bad words. This means to include or to fit flavor. Mei wa seidaku no kuo. Mei is brightness. Brightness will, in the brightness, only duality of pure or impure is apparent. In the brightness, se is pure and this is impure. Pure word, there is pure word and muddy word. Pure word and nasty word. In brightness, we have dualistic words, duality of the pure and impure. This is here. Same words, but this means to make it clear, but to become apparent. These two words is words. This is words. This is more short one words maybe, and this is longer. Words. Anyway, in brightness, there is only dualistic words become apparent. In this way, we should understand things. Positive way and negative way, we say. Positive way. And positive way is to to acknowledge things in terms of good or bad, beautiful or ugly, good student or bad student. If you make good effort, you will be a good student. To acknowledge the effort is, you know, positive way. Negative way is, you know, whatever you say, you will get 30 blocks. We do not accept anything. That is negative way. Positive way and negative way is, you know, should be, you know. Sometimes positive, sometimes negative. We must have that kind of, you know, means of treating things. But, you know, actually, you know, even though we murdered someone, it does not mean, you know, he do not acknowledge. Because he knows him so well, so sometimes he will be angry at him. When you know he's very good, but sometimes he will be very lazy, then, you know, we'll hit him. Sometimes we will, you know, praise him, or we will encourage him. But, you know, it does not mean we are using quite different methods or quite different attitude. So attitude is, understanding is the same, but the ways of, you know, treating him is different. For someone who sees things only, you know, negative way and become always, who is always, you know, pessimistic, you know, will encourage him. But if he is too good, or too bright, then a teacher will be always scolding. That is something, our way. But originally, it does not. Our way is, our understanding is not different. But usually, we very much attach to bright side of things and dark side of things. Do you know? Famous koan. A monk asked a master, it is very hard. It is very hard. How is it, is it possible to, you know, to feel better? And the master said, why don't you go to somewhere where there is no cold weather or hot weather? Why don't you go there? The disciples said, is there somewhere, you know, where there's no cold or no hot? The master said, when it is cold, you should be a cold Buddha. When it is hot, you should be a hot Buddha. That was the answer. You think, you know, there is somewhere, if you practice that, you will attend, you know, some stage where there is no cold, or no hot, or no pressure, or no no suffering. You may think. So, you may ask him, you know, if we practice that, is it possible to attain that kind of, you know, attainment? But, you know, the true teacher may say, when you suffer, you should suffer. When you feel good, you should feel good. You should, you know, be suffering Buddha. Sometimes you should be crying Buddha sometimes. Or you should be a very happy Buddha sometimes. But at the same time, the happiness, no, in its true sense, is not exactly the same happiness which usual people have. There's some difference, little bit different, and that little bit makes a great difference. Little bit different. He knows, because he knows both sides of the reality, you know. He has that kind of composure. He will not be disturbed by something bad. And he will not be extremely, you know, he will not be ecstatic about things. And he will have true joy, which will always with him. And basic, you know, tone of life is said, and on it there's some, you know, good melody, or you know, sad melody. That is, you know, more or less something enlightened people may have. That is a feeling some enlightened people may have. And how, it does not mean, you know, it means that at the same time, when it is hot, you know, when you are sad, you should be completely involved in sadness, without care for something happy. When you are happy, you should just enjoy the happiness. compassion. So we are, why we can do so is because we are always prepared for everything. No. Even though the circumstances changes all of a sudden, you don't mind. Today you may be very happy, and next day we don't know what will happen to us, but we should be, when we are ready for things which will happen to tomorrow, then we can enjoy today completely. Actually, how you can do it is not by, lecture like this, but your practice. So this is Sekito's words, but later, in Sekito Kusen Daiyosho, Yakusan Nyen Daiyosho, Ungan Donjo Daiyosho, Tozan Ryokai Daiyosho. Tozan is the fourth generation from Sekito, and Tozan's time, people stick to this kind of gay, brightness or darkness. And they were very much interested in talking about bright side and dark side and middle way. And they lost the point how to, obtain this kind of freedom from things. So later, Dogen Zenji did not use this kind of word so much. Dogen Zenji rather put emphasis on to get out of those words. How to get out of those words is to appreciate things moment after moment. That is more Dogen's way. So he rather put emphasis on he's more interested in the corn, like when it is cold, you should be a cold Buddha. When it is hot, you should be a hot Buddha. That's one. Just one. To be completely, involved in what you are doing is more Dogen's way, without, thinking about those things. And because this kind of, attainment will be obtained by actual practice, not by those words. But this kind of words will help you understand. Uh, obtained by actual practice, not by those words. But this kind of words will help your understanding of things when you are very much dualistic, when you are getting to confusion. It may help you, but sometimes, you know, you may be interested in talking about those things. Then we lose our way. We should be interested in actual zazen, not in those words. And we should not interested in to talk about those things, rather to be involved. Rather, we should practice actual zazen. So Dogen Zenji's way is to, you know, to find the meaning in each being, like a grain of rice, you know, or a cup of water. A cup of water, you may say, is things, you know, which you see in brightness. But if when you respect, when you pay full respect to the grain of rice, you know, it means actually, when you respect it, as you respect it, as you respect Buddha himself, that is, you know, you understand a grain of rice as a, you know, as absolute. Only when you do so, when you live in a dualistic, you know, world, completely involved in it, then you have, at that time you have absolute world at the same time in its true sense. When you practice zazen without seeking for any enlightenment or anything, then there is true enlightenment. That is more like Dorian than this way. Maybe if you have questions, please ask me.
I'm afraid of just letting go and feeling just pain, or whether that's wise and understanding it, you know? It's always, it's head and head. Like, it's not just pain, and it is realistic, and I don't understand that. It's divided.
Do you know why? That is the point. When you are, you know, feeling it's divided, sometimes you try to understand it, and sometimes you know, feel, you know, you you let yourself feel whatever it is. But sometimes you try to understand, you know, what is this feeling, what is the other side of the feeling or something. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, lots of times it goes together, but at the same time.
Uh-huh. Like, how? Will you explain it more?
Well, actually, I can explain it better in pleasure than I can in pain. Like when I'm enjoying something or when something gives me pleasure and I want, like it gives me such pleasure that part of me is saying, now don't forget, you know, everything dies. And my words are there, but also there, the understanding is also there. It's like half and half of me. Sometimes it's a different time. Sometimes I completely just try to feel it. I just let it in as much as it'll come. Other times, I try to understand it. But most of the time, it's like half and half in the same experience. Like part of me is opening to just let whatever's happening happen. And then part of me is just saying, now, don't forget, you know, this is the way things are, that like that and so on. I feel like you sort of already explained it when you said, you know, it's not just words, and if you were really, if your base is really there, then the top of it can just move around. And it doesn't make so much difference what you do. Perhaps you've already answered it.
You know, it is you have that kind of problem, you know, because you are involved in just personal, you know, problem just for yourself. So you have that kind of problem. You know, it is, you know. As long as it means that, as long as you are involved in personal problem, you know, it is whatever understanding you may have, that is just, you know, that understanding is, you know, in only in bright side, in its worst sense. It doesn't, you know, the other side of it is not bright side, or darkness, absolute. It is so, but you, because you are involved in personal practice, you know, you have no chance to realize the other side of it. We are talking, you know. When we talk about this, you know, we are talking, I am talking as if I am an enlightened person. And you are listening to it as if you are an enlightened person. In other way, in other words, you know, all of us are bodhisattva. And as a bodhisattva, we are discussing, you know, this kind of problem. But when you apply this kind of thought, just for intellectual understanding, or just your problem only. That you have no chance to understand this. The other side of it. That is why you have that problem. It is good, you know. If you, you know, really practicing Bodhisattva way, whichever side, maybe it is okay. You know, when you think, criticize yourself, it is okay. When you do what you want to do, that is also okay. You are not doing two different things. So according to the situation, you are doing something good, always. But because, you know, why you don't have the confidence in your, in your activity or in your life is because your practice is involved in selfish practice. Okay?
That's not the way I don't understand. I really don't understand where the boundaries of selfishness are. I don't understand where selfishness begins and ends. And it's like, I feel, my whole life I was taught that if you can't help somebody, then don't do anything. And I couldn't understand, how you could help anybody. How are you going to help anybody? How would you possibly know what is something that's helpful to another person? And the only thing that I ever come up with is to feel myself as a person, whatever bounds that may have, to be whoever I am and to just be human. And that is, I don't know how far that extends. I don't know what Mother Crowley is or how far she goes or how little she is. But I feel like the only way that I can possibly understand what human life is to be human, to feel what it is to be human. And I don't understand when you say that that is selfish, to just experience everyday life. I don't understand that.
You don't understand, yeah. Because you don't, you have your confidence is not big enough, strong enough. You say, I don't understand. I don't understand. That is what you are saying. I don't understand. What does it mean? If you don't understand, that is okay. Anyway, as long as you are here, you should do what you should do. You see?
But what is it that I should do?
To follow our schedule, practice Zazen and chant Sutra. That is what you should do here. So you are very well protected here. In city life, it is not so simple, When you are in city, our practice cannot be so simple. So it is difficult to criticize people, as Betty said, Who is in the city? Who is involved in a family life? It is very difficult. So here you are completely protected. And in this protected, well protected Dasahara, you should practice our way. You see? You want to, you are trying too much. Dasahara practice and city practice. And you want to attain everything in one place. So that is why you are mixed up. human. What does it mean? There is no human life except zazen or eating. So there's no problem, even though you got a CTI, even though you have more complicated, right? It's okay. See? You are still trying to, you know, feel something which is impossible for you to feel right now. As Dogen Zen said, there's no bird which fly, you know, after you know what it is. Only when it's just, this is, you know, should be our way, just fly. Okay?
I don't understand.
You are, you know, I think you are fighting with something. Why don't you fly just like this? You are making yourself, you know, feel bad, that's all. You don't understand. Because you try to understand, you don't understand. If you just involved in practice day by day, you know, when you get up, you should get up, just get up. Okay? What shall I do? I'm very, very tired. So, that is why you have. Then you may think next time, to become tired is I have some reason why I'm tired. And when maybe when it is tired, you know, to stay in bed is human nature. Why is it bad to stay in bed? Something like that. There's no, you know, limit. Oh, that's very, you know, interesting story. In China, in war period, when the six powerful countries were fighting, and the king of the Sei, you know, wanted to invade the kingdom of Gi. But there were very good ministers. And, you know, he wanted to persuade his king not to invade another country. So he talked about, he started to talk about the wonderful duck. And it was a good hunting duck. His master, you know, the dog's master, set the hunting dog after to catch the deer. Both, you know, both hare and hunting dog were very good. So, and even though the hunting dog was good, he couldn't catch him. So at last, both hunting dog and hare tired out and dead. And who gets, you know, no one gets any benefit.
by sitting and hunting dog after a hare. Except, you know, if someone picks, you know, dead hare and dead dog up, he may be the only one who gets some benefit. He talked about that kind of the famous hunting dog. But he did not, you know, his master did not stop invading the neighboring country. You know, there's the famous story. We are something, you know, doing something like that. There's no end in chasing after. What will be the true way? What is human nature? Too much, you know. Our efforts should not be directed in that way or in this way, you know, those things. Although I am explaining it, but we shouldn't just try to understand, or it will help, you know, but we shouldn't think this is the only way, this is the best way to understand Buddhism. So maybe because I am explaining this, so I'm encouraging you to think about your problem, but it is not so actually. Okay?
No.
No, that is want of, you know, spirit of real practice. Okay? If you come here, you should practice hard. Just practice. Practice is first. Okay? Forget all about human nature. Human nature is in your practice. There's nowhere. Okay? Hi.
When I'm fully awake, I have maybe a little control over my desires. But in the morning,
That is what I'm saying. In the morning, you have trouble. I know that. So that is why I say, get up. How you do it? Do it. Oh, I have someone who will go and get it. Okay? Great.
I just got up, I think, a couple of times.
Yeah, that is good.
Jumped down and then. Mm-hmm. But it was such a big thing.
Yeah, that is a big thing. So if you can get up, you know, pretty well, I think your practice is almost okay. That is very good chance to practice. Just get up. Okay, that is the most important thing.
It's like I hear the bell, and as soon as I hear it, there's a big bell.
I don't hear anything from it.
I don't want to hear it. I should get up before I hear the bell.
Okay. Yeah. then strict on that side.
Right. You've made several comments on concerning attitude toward the words behind you. Does this does what you have said apply also, say, to the Heart Sutra and to all to all sutras?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not making any comment, any particular comment on the Sandokai.
No.
Okay.
No particular comment. Same thing.
As I've been sitting Zazen for some years, and then a student here, people sometimes ask me questions about our practice and about my practice and why I'm doing what I'm doing. For example, someone may say to me, how long have you been sitting Zazen? How long have you been practicing? And at such a time, I may think, well, Gary, you could say you've been practicing from beginningless beginning. And perhaps from my experience and from my intellectual understanding at the present time, I might expound on beginningless beginning. Or I might say, oh, 3 years or 4 years. I wonder, in such circumstance, if I say one thing or the other, there will be some communication and some information exchanged about one thing or another. But if I say 2 or 3 years, it's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite to the point, and it's true. And it's perhaps more honest. If I say beginningless beginning, and speak about such a thing, it may be that I know quite well something intellectually about that. But to truly understand that requires considerable confidence. And if I don't have the confidence at the particular time the question is asked, how shall I answer such a question?
It's up to you. It is, you know, if someone who wants to understand intellectually what is our practice, maybe we have to answer more intellectual way, even though it will not help completely. Intellectual understanding is important. But sometimes, you know, you are okay, you know. You hesitate to give some intellectual understanding, so that is okay. But if you become proud of, you know, your intellectual understanding, it may be a big mistake. So, how you answer for such question is very difficult. But if you understand the intention of making question for you, maybe you can answer in some way, appropriate way.
Roshi, when you study a book, what does the book give you? You.
Give me?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, you know. If you, I study various teachers' way. Now, for me, it is necessary to know about various Zen master. For you, maybe it is not so important. But for me, is that I must have some clear picture of what I'm talking about. You can answer in some way, appropriate way. Right.
Roshi, when you study a book, what does the book give you?
Give me?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, if you I study various teachers' way. Now, for me, it is necessary to know about various Zen master. For you, maybe it is not so important. But for me, with that, I must have some clear picture of what I am talking about. Or else, I cannot say anything. You see, that is why I study before lecture. And my teacher always told me, even though it doesn't help, you should, before lecture, you should study. Sound and noise. Sound, when you listen to it, when you listen to it in Zazen, you can distinguish sound from noise. If you want to. Now, why I discriminate your sound or noise, is because I want to, I want to encourage your practice as a teacher. But, sometimes I just practice Zazen, practice Zazen with you, forgetting all about teacher or disciple. Sometimes, I feel I have to help you, so I I discriminate your practice. Sometimes I correct your posture. But sometimes I don't, because I want to sit maybe with you. I think if I sit with you, anyway, I'm helping you, I'm quite sure. But sometimes I think it is necessary to correct your posture and to listen to your mokumyo or dhyana or breath. It is not so easy. It is quite easy to tell. you know, it is like two hands, sutra cards for people. When you receive it, you know, the feeling you have, you know, it's sometimes maybe, you know, sometimes it is because of your, you know, disturbed mind, you may not feel so good. But if it is handed to you, you know, with some feeling, good feeling, you will naturally feel good. The way of talk, you know, everything is safe. So, you know, in Japan, in bus station or in, you know, in train station, they are clipping our ticket. You know. Someone, you know, will give you good, very good feeling. Just, you know, good. There is big difference in the way they clip our ticket. I'm talking about that kind of thing.